Most people don't know how many financial accounts they have or their net worth. And when you're not paying attention, you're leaving money on the table. The solution is Monarch, an all-in-one personal finance tool that brings your entire financial life together in one clean interface on your laptop or phone. In just minutes, link all your accounts for a complete picture of your financial health. You'll never need a spreadsheet again. Get 50% off your first year. That's just $50 total at monarch.com with code BUDGET. That's monarch.com, promo code BUDGET.
Go Loud. Magnified with Matt Cooper. Sponsored by Intact Insurance, the new name for RSA Insurance, and a new way to insure business with ease.
Go Loud. Sounds better with us.
Hello, and we're back for a new series of Magnified with thanks to Intact Insurance. You may know Intact Insurance by another name, RSA Insurance. Now, there's a reason for the change of name. For brokers, this means deeper engagement and enhanced product offerings across personal and commercial lines. So remember the name. It's now Intact Insurance, and Intact Insurance has big plans for Ireland. It wants to be one of the top three insurers in the Irish market by 2030. And here on Magnified, we're delighted to be part of that journey. Our new series of podcasts follows the format of old for Magnified, considered interviews of longer duration than the format of radio and The Last Word allows me. Today's guest on Magnified is someone who might be better known to you as a hurler, multiple All-Ireland winner and All-Star Man of the Match in one All-Ireland hurling final, but now, since he has retired, has gone into the tech business and has a very interesting business called Social Ties, which is starting out with the Kilkenny Cats social app. Walter Walsh is our guest on Magnified. And again, our thanks to Intact Insurance. Walter Walsh, because I was meeting you here today, I had to do something that as a proud Cork man was very difficult for me to do, and that was to download an app for Kilkenny hurling. You're the man behind Social Ties, which is developing things like the Kilkenny Cats app. Tell me all about this move into business that you've made.
Yeah, so I suppose initially I would have invested in a few different tech companies, and I got asked then to lead this one, and it's going really well. Social Ties, I suppose initially we would have looked at club management software, and we pivoted from that and formed Kilkenny Cats Social in partnership with Kilkenny GAA. And that's what it is. It's a digital home for all things Kilkenny GAA.
All the way down to underage and into the clubs as well?
Yeah, it is. It's well, primarily it's just for Kilkenny GAA, but obviously the fixtures and results from underage all the way feed into this app. So I suppose to explain exactly what it is, I suppose there's three key stakeholders in Kilkenny Cats Social, which is our first app, our first organisation that we partnered with Social Ties. And I suppose the first key stakeholder is the user or the supporter. And I am now a Kilkenny supporter since I retired last year. And I just found myself going to, we'd say, Facebook, Instagram for general news. I was going to the website for fixtures and results. I was going to Twitter, X now, for live updates. I was going to Spotify for podcasts. Not just your one, Matt, the different podcasts associated with Kilkenny GAA, but I just found myself going to all these different places, and I suppose there wasn't one place for it. So that's what kind of brought about Social Ties as well. It's a one-stop shop for all things Kilkenny GAA. So as a supporter now, you don't need to go to any of the various different, I suppose, social media platforms. It's all in one place. It's all funneled into a news feed on Kilkenny GAA. The second key stakeholder involved in Social Ties and Kilkenny Cat Social is the organisation. So in this case, Kilkenny GAA, or the community. So they're constantly looking for money. There's all the organisations and different communities spotted around Ireland as well. And in this case, what we do is we offer a shared advertising model. And what that is advertisers like local businesses in Kilkenny are advertising on the app, and with our shared advertising model, 50% of all ad revenue goes directly back to Kilkenny GAA.
And it's a free to download app. There's no subscription or anything like that.
Yeah, so it's free for the supporter. It's free for the organisation to partner us. So it's a win-win situation for the likes of Kilkenny GA or whoever else. We haven't yet gone further afield. We want to get Kilkenny right. And there's a lot of businesses advertising. They see the benefits of advertising, but also supporting Kilkenny GA. And all of the 50% of the ad revenue goes directly to the Centre of Excellence, which is being developed in Kilkenny. So I suppose it provides a sustainable revenue stream for Kilkenny GAA, because it's 12 months of the year there's businesses advertising on the platform with Kilkenny eyeballs looking at it. Again, the third key stakeholder then is the local business or the advertiser. They're getting to advertise, but also support local and Kilkenny GAA as well. So there's more of a return on investment. The feedback we're getting is, you know, they're not just a sign in the park. There's actually, you know, it's digital advertising and they get the support. So it's a win-win situation.
Are you ready to go nationwide? Because it struck me when I was looking at it, okay, if this works and you're making the money out of it, wouldn't you not need to be saying, let's get the other 31 county boards signed up, sharpish, look at other sports such as getting into Leinster and Munster and Connacht rugby, going to football, all sorts of things that once you have this established, you need now to move quickly to sell it as many places as possible.
Yeah, that's the plan. We really wanted to focus on getting Kilkenny right, Kilkenny Cat Social right, and it is. Kilkenny have the sustainable revenue stream coming in, and now we only started an email campaign last week just to the other counties, but like you said, it's endless really with social ties. You can have social ties for any community. It doesn't have to be sport. Obviously, that my interest is in sport, and I saw that's the area we needed to target first of all. So yes, we've a webinar coming up on the 23rd of October as well. We're going to be it's out there for all the other counties around Ireland, also all the national governing bodies. But another key area what we're looking at is schools. I'm obviously, my background is teaching, and like I see day to day all the activities that are going on in the school. So if you think about school plays, it could be a match. If you have a news feed there with all things happening in the school, it's like it's its own community. You know, you're driving eyeballs there as well. And also it's a safe place. It's a safe social media for students of schools. I suppose going back to your point on, yes, rugby, the IRFU, we can target this socialise. It's, I suppose, so broad, it's so scalable. So yes, we are going targeting the other 31 counties and the other sports and national governing bodies the next 2 months, where we'd like to have 10 plus up for January.
And then what's your role within the business? You're not writing the software or anything like that, are you? Or are you?
No, I'm not. I'm interested in tech as well, but we have a development team for that. My role in the business is I'm working with Kilkenny GA, and I suppose we're looking at getting advertisers on board. But my direction now, so that's up and run. There's businesses coming to us wanting to advertise. What I'm going to be doing now is I'm going to be looking at the other county boards. I'm going to be meeting with the chairs of other county boards and so on. So I'm going to be targeting just to grow social ties like this.
You say you have an interest in tech and tech investments. You're involved in Grinds 360 as well. There's been a lot of publicity about the likes of Brian O'Driscoll involved in that. How did you get involved?
Yeah, through a mutual friend I met, co-founder of Socialize as well, Brendan Kavanagh. And yeah, I was just chatting with him and Ronan Murdoch as well, who's CEO of Grinds 360. And I suppose at the startup point, I was just having conversations with him and my thoughts on it. And I'm an agricultural science teacher in Kilcounsel College. Well, I was up until the end of May this year. And yeah, I got asked to teach agricultural science on Grinds 360. And I invested in it. I just saw the potential of it, and despite a few maybe reports, it's going really, really well. It's since, let's say, the start of August this year, it's going really well. I'm really happy with my investment.
Okay, so what prompted you to start investing in tech, if that, and are there other companies as well?
Yeah, there's another company associated with Tactics AI. It's kind of data analysis. It's associated with games. They're actually over in the US at the minute, the college football and NFL are going mad for this AI as well. And I'm just interested in it. True, I suppose everyone's interested in tech. We all use it every day. And I think it was just through a mutual friend and just chatting to Brendan Kavanagh that, I suppose, gauged my interest in it. And Look, I'm a farmer from South Kilkenny, a dairy farmer. I'm in partnership with my father on our farm, our dairy farm as well. So, like, people wouldn't have thought that I would be interested in tech. I'm a dairy farmer from South Kilkenny as well, doing a bit of teaching. But yeah, no, it's just something I was interested in, and I suppose the more you get to know it and deal with people in tech, you kind of, I suppose, you get more and more interested in it. And if you said to me 5 years ago that I'd be here, CEO of a tech company, I wouldn't believe you, really.
Okay, and we'll come back to the tech and stuff in a while, but most people would know you as a hurler. And I presume that's going to be to your advantage as well, isn't it? That it'll help open doors, particularly if you're going around to all the various county boards around the country.
Yeah, you'd like to think that it would. People might sit down and have a coffee with me because they would have seen me trying to play hurling with Kilkenny for 12 years or that. So definitely in terms of the GAA is a great organisation, just a vast network that's there, both obviously in Ireland and overseas as well. Yes, that's definitely going to be a help, maybe to get my foot in the door and maybe to have a meeting with some of these people involved in different counties across Ireland as well. And yeah, I suppose my selling point in that regard is that it's free for the organisation to partner with. So it's always maybe easier to get these meetings when you can only maybe bring benefit to the organisation.
And you're not looking for money.
You're not looking for money, exactly. Like, so it's easier, and then they might have seen me playing with Kilkenny in the past, and that might be a help to get the foot in the door.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit about playing with Kilkenny in the past, because you came to fame in the most unusual way. Your very first inter-county game for Kilkenny at senior level was in the replay of the All-Ireland Final in 2012. You scored a goal and 3 points and you were the man of the match. I mean, where do you go from there when that's your first game?
Downhill from there, Matt, all downhill. But
in fairness, you did win another 2 All-Irelands and an All-Star and many Leinster titles as well.
Yeah, it was very surreal, being honest. My first game, I only joined the panel for the quarter-final that year, so I only joined the panel maybe in July, and All-Ireland was in September that time. So yes, I was making up the numbers in training. I was playing with the Kilkenny under-21s. We actually got beaten in an All-Ireland final in 2012 as well. Clare beat us. But yeah, so where do I go from there? Like, it's, yeah, my life did change overnight.
Is that difficult to cope with, though? I mean, you have to have the personality where suddenly you've come from nowhere and you're lauded as a star. You're the man of the match in the final, and you're a hero back in your local area. And I want to talk to you about your local area in a while. But, you know, what is that like? And you were only a young fella to actually cope with that sudden level, not having really built up to it.
Yeah, good people around me as well, and family, and Brian Cody as your manager, he'll keep you grounded anyway. That's one thing for sure. And that was, like, I had good people around me, good friends, even some of the players as well who had won it all, really. Like, I was, before that, like, they were my heroes as well. Still are, like, as well. I was playing with some of those. But I'd like to think it didn't change me a whole lot. I was in college in Dublin doing agricultural science at the time. And yeah, look, I enjoyed the celebrations after that All-Ireland final and that. But yeah, it was surreal, but I would be relatively easy going in that sense.
Did you realise that you were likely to be pitched in for the replay? Because reading one piece, one of your teammates had to say to you in the week building up to the replay that you do realise you're in line to play here, because you were being pitched in against Jackie Tyrrell in training, and that was probably to test you to see whether he was softening you up or not. Did you actually have that hope before Brian Cody announced the team on the Friday night that you were going to get the start?
No, honestly, I didn't. I remember David Herity saying to me, you could be coming on, like, or you're being watched here, like, and I was like, yeah, okay, yeah. I was just kind of dismissed it. Now, honestly, I was just happy to be there. And when you're young like that, you're just happy to be involved in such a successful team. Yeah, like, and I only joined the panel midway through the summer. I didn't think I'd be playing. I was obviously hoping to one day play with Kilkenny. But yeah, he was kind of, I suppose, prepping me for I suppose, some involvement in the game. And I just kind of dismissed him. But then on the Friday night beforehand, it was revealed. I actually didn't know where to look. I was embarrassed nearly that I was playing. I was like, who am I on instead of? And like, what are the rest of the lads thinking with me playing? I'd say they were all in shock. I was in shock as well. And yeah, it was just...
You were given the number 14 jersey, but you were played in right corner forward.
Yeah, I played in the corner. I had been playing, yes, sir. I was, I suppose, in training leading up to that, I was Mark and Jackie, maybe he was corner back and I was corner forward. And yeah, Jackie's a good man to test you before your first game in an All-Ireland final anyway. That's one thing for sure.
And then there was another Friday night before an All-Ireland final though when you weren't picked. What was that like?
Yeah, it's mad the way it works. Yeah, there has been, like you said, my first three All-Irelands I played and I won, and my next four I lost. And it's funny how sport goes. You think when you're winning, it just keeps on happening, but that's certainly not the case. And yeah, I've been on the other side of it. It's definitely better to be starting. You want to be starting every game as a player, especially when you've experienced it before. So as you get to the latter end of your career, you want to play. Like, whereas if I wasn't playing my first that All Ireland, if I wasn't playing, that would have been fine. But yeah, when you're older and more experienced, you want to play.
I'm not sure Brian Cody ever used the term about having finishers, as other managers might have. You know, it's all about the 21 players you use on the day and everyone's as important. But when you are playing, though, you really want to be part of the 15, do you? And you want to be there for the full 70 minutes.
Yeah, definitely. And that's not always the case. I was often whipped off before the 70 minutes. And then when you're not playing, you're just itching to get on. And I was lucky in that sense when I wasn't starting. I think most of the time I came on in the matches, so I was always involved. And yes, you're disappointed.
There are few things worse than being an unused sub, are there?
Yeah, like that's it, because a lot of the time throughout league campaigns and whatever, those guys who don't play, feature in the game, have to do the running, you know, at different times throughout the league, because they haven't exercised. And that's tough on just the mental side of it, because you're not involved in the game. Just say Kilkenny had a good win, then you have to go off and do running while the rest of them go down to Langton's for a bit of grub. And it's funny, it's a hard place to be. So obviously I would have liked to have started, especially towards the end of my career. I had injuries and different things as well like that, but when I was talking out, I played most of the matches, and that was nice.
But what is it like, though, when you win your first three All-Irelands, you think it's probably going to be a habit, and then to lose four in a row? What does that do to your head when you suddenly start losing once, twice, three times, four times?
Yeah, it's difficult. Like, you just think you're going to... When I won those first three All-Irelands, I would have thought, oh, this is great, like, this is kind of what happens. It was three All-Irelands within 4 years. So, like, I spent the rest of most of my career not winning All-Irelands. And I suppose I might have stayed playing with Kilkenny that bit longer in the hope of getting one before I retired, because I won my last one in 2015, but I only retired in 2024. So, like, maybe I stayed on a bit longer in hope of getting it. And look, we weren't too far away. We got beaten in four All-Ireland finals, and in 2024 got beaten in a semi-final. So obviously you're not too far away, and you always want to maybe have that fairy tale ending when you win an All-Ireland and you can retire and everything's happy and rosy. But there's not many players get to experience that.
Yeah. How was it, the life as an intercounty hurler, particularly when you would have spent some of your time in college in Dublin and then teaching in Dublin before you moved back to Kilkenny? How demanding is it to be an intercounty hurler? Or is, some people suspect, teaching the absolute ideal job for being an intercounty hurler?
Yeah, teaching is it's not as easy as some might think. People look at the holidays.
I'm not suggesting it's an easy job, but I'm suggesting you perhaps have the flexibility in hours for training and for matches.
Oh, definitely. And that's why there are so many intercounty players that are teachers, especially during those summer months when the championship is really heating up as well. You know, you're very flexible, and that's it. So there's maybe a reason why I suppose I retired last year, and now I'm, after moving some into another job. Obviously the job I'm in now, I wouldn't be able to do if I was still hurling with Kilkenny. Just, I suppose I'd be talking to the enemy going into the Wexford County Board and seeing, do they want to sign up to Social Ties? Like, it's just, I suppose teaching does provide that flexibility. And yeah, even for farming as well, like the summer I was able to farm as well when I wasn't teaching.
How much farming do you do?
My father was in Rome there, at a wedding there, for 4 nights. So I was busy enough there the last couple of days doing it and trying to juggle that. And I suppose family life as well and everything. So
what sort of farm do you have?
We have a dairy farm. So yeah, we're milking cows. So they have to milk twice a day, every day.
I suppose that's a pretty demanding lifestyle as well, isn't it?
It is, yeah, it is. There's two of my father is very much the main man there. He's my father, 62 years of age. He's the, like well capable of doing the jobs there. But like, there's a lot of work, especially in the springtime around farming. So it's yeah, it's nice to give a hand.
Where you grew up in South Kilkenny is not exactly known, is it, as a place that produces lots of hurlers, is it?
No.
You were the first All-Ireland winner in decades, weren't you, to come from the local club and local parish?
Yeah, I was. And there was a guy, Icy Lanigan was his name, but this is back in 1930s that I think he'd moved to Kilkenny, hadn't he?
Yeah,
yeah, so there's, I suppose I am really the first to win an All-Ireland with, from Tulliher Rossbarrican. So that was something I was extremely proud of. And at the time, I didn't know the magnitude of it. And like, Tulliher, we've had a lot of success even following on from that as well. So, you know, it's a very rural place. Most of us are farmers, you know, playing a bit of hurling as well. And it's, no, that was something very special to me, for me to be able to, I suppose, bring home an All-Ireland medal. Like, we had Pat Hartley, who's still hurling at the age of 39, on our first team. He was on the Kilkenny panel in 2010, but Tipperary beat him that year as well. So we've had a lot of players representing Kilkenny at loads of different, like underage and so on. But yeah, look, it was something very special for me.
The reason I bring it up is Mark O'Shea recently did an interview with us on The Last Word because of his book that came out. And the book features quite a lot on his career as an intercounty, winning 5 All-Ireland medals with Kerry. But he said he would have sacrificed one of them to have won an All-Ireland club medal with Ungaeltacht, and they did get to Croke Park and they lost the final, and he always regrets that. You've had that experience with the local club, and what does that actually mean to you when you get with your club? I think twice, isn't it? Once when you were a 17-year-old getting to an All-Ireland junior final.
Yeah, so we got beaten by a Cork team, Dripsy, in 2008. So I was, yeah, 17-year-old, still in school. Just the whole experience really kind of brought the whole parish, the whole community together. And unfortunately, a Cork team beat us, but 15 years later, we got relegated from intermediate, obviously, which wasn't ideal, but we got the chance to win junior in Kilkenny and go on, and we beat a Cork team in the final. So it was, that's something really special. It meant so much to the local community as well. So it was just, yeah,
do you get as much buzz out of that almost as being with Kilkenny? The reason I asked that is that Tommy Walsh, I did an event with in Croke Park earlier this year, and he said that after even he finished with Kilkenny, he ended up with his club back in Croke Park for an All-Ireland final. And he said that that was an even more special day in many respects to him because it was with all his local family and friends and the rest of it. It was them, it was not people from outside of that local area.
Yeah, definitely. It's something really special. Like, the club is where you start, it's where you finish as well. And like, players who have won All-Irelands with the club always allude to that. It's not that, like, obviously winning with Kilkenny means so much as well, but it's more, I don't know, sentimental really. And you know, you win with the people, your neighbours, your cousins, your, you know, people you grew up with. It's just that bit more special. And like, it's so much harder to win an All-Ireland with the club if you think about it, because I think of all the club teams spot around the country, and
you have to win your own county championship first and then get through the province and go on.
And sometimes the county, that's the hardest thing to win, especially in Kilkenny. It's so competitive, even at junior level as well. It's really, really competitive. So that makes it that bit harder to win, and obviously you have to win more games and beat more opponents. And yeah, just to win in Croke Park with your club, it's something of dreams, really.
You mightn't have been a hurler at all, because you played other sports when you were a teenager in particular. How far did you get with Leinster Rugby?
I only got as far as, we'd say, South East Leinster teams, and I was playing with Kilcounsel College. Hurling and football at the time.
In Wexford
as well. Like, I'm on the border there. I'm on the right side of the border now, on the Kilkenny side. But that's where I was teaching until recently as well. And just games were clashing at the weekends. And I just was making the Kilcounsel team. We won. We were very successful. We won Leinster's all the way up in hurling and football. So
How good a rugby player were you? And what position did you play? Because, you look like you could be a second row forward or a back row.
Yeah, I wasn't always really tall for my age growing up. So I actually played 10. A lot of people just think I'm a second row and that. But I would have played 10. I would have been kicking and that. And yeah, something I really enjoyed. And I was playing rugby inside of New Ross since I was 5. Tadhg Furlong, I played with Tadhg as well, inside in New Ross. And yeah, up until the age of maybe 15, it was, I'd say maybe rugby was my number one sport, being honest. And then the hurling just kind of kicked off. I got called into the Kilkenny minor team, and then that was the rest is history. I chose the hurling match with the club over the South East Leinster match with the rugby, and that was it, really.
Because you nearly made a fatal mistake, didn't you, at under 17 level of admitting to the coaches that you were a rugby player?
Yeah. I know that Richie Mulrooney at the time was very understanding. He said, look, if you go do rugby, that's fine. We'll work around you. He just wanted to see me come in and train that time. And when I suppose I got called into the minor Kilkenny team when I was 17, and I was only making up numbers for some of the guys who were doing the leaving cert at the time. And then I was kept in, and Richie said, look, if you play a bit of rugby, if you play a bit of rugby, just be here when you can. And I was delighted. I always wanted to play hurling with Kilkenny, and I just went with that. And I only recently went back last year when I retired from Kilkenny. I started playing rugby with New Ross again, playing second centre this time. And at the end of the year, I got asked to go on to Leinster junior rugby team. So that I actually got to put on a Leinster jersey with the juniors last April, and it was something really. I always wanted to play with Leinster. That was something that was on my radar, and I didn't think at the age of 33, I'm 34 now, that I'd get to put on that jersey. So that was something special. So I got to wear the blue of Leinster.
Come back to Kilkenny though. What is it like to be a player under the tutelage of Brian Cody? Because the perception might be is that he's a hard nut, he's a stern man. What is he like to be as your coach? And that he only ever talks to you. He's only interested in you if you're on the team. He's no real interest in you if you're off the team or if you're injured.
But no, I've nothing but respect for Brian Cody. He's a great manager, a great man. I met him recently enough, actually. I went back. I played with Kilkenny footballers earlier this year as well.
There is actually a Kilkenny football team, is there? I've only been facetious, but...
No, we play in this year, in the junior competition. It's played out over a weekend. We'd London junior team on a Friday night, and if you win that, you play 2 days later in the All-Ireland final. London beat us this year anyway, but it was played before the Donegal and Meath match in Croke Park, so it would have been great to get there, and it didn't work out that way. But Brian actually came in to do a talk with us on the Thursday night beforehand, and it was just incredible. He's, I think, his best asset as a manager. Well, not, I think about respect, obviously, that's one of them. Everyone just has massive respect for him. But he's an unbelievable motivator, an unbelievable speaker. And he just came in. I had heard a lot of the stuff he'd said before, but you could just tell he's such a presence when he came into the room as well. And you could just see all the rest of the lads who hadn't seen him. There was a lot of guys who played were in Kilkenny panels as well that were playing a bit of football as well. And you could just see the lads looking around after like that. That was unbelievable. Like that.
Why?
Was,
what is it about him? What does he do?
He's just an incredible speaker. It's just there's passion, and I suppose he's backed up what he's saying. I think there's substance behind what he says. He talks about things that are maybe they're relevant to every game. Just, I suppose, things about attitude and the spirit that you can bring amongst the group, and just, I suppose, things that you can apply to every team. And yeah, he kind of captures it well. And I couldn't wait for the match the next day. And everyone was the same. Look, it didn't work out for us. We got up by a couple of points in the end. But yeah, he's just an incredible man.
How difficult has it been for others to follow him after he stepped down as Kilkenny manager?
Yeah, look, it is. It was always going to be hard to fill the shoes of Brian Cody. You see what happened with Alex Ferguson in United when he stepped away. And it's kind of that's similar enough. But if you look at Derek Ding, his first 2 years, two All-Ireland finals, Limerick beat us in his first year as well. So, look, he got to an All-Ireland final as well. So, Kilkenny aren't far away. I'm not just saying that because I'm from Kilkenny and I'm now a supporter. We're knocking on the door, but I know in Kilkenny you want more success. The same, All-Irelands are hard to win, Matt. You know that. Like Cork, even this year.
Stop rubbing it in. Not
really. I was there at half time. I was with the GA Plus before the game. I did, and it was just Cork. I couldn't see anything else, only Cork winning. But that's sport.
It is sport. Tell us a little bit more about the players you played with. Who were the best players that you played with? Because you span going back to the likes of the Henry Shefflins and people like Richie Hogan would have been all the way through until near the end, and TJ Reid been there. I mean, who would have been the best players that you played with?
When you said that, the first name that came into my head, and I don't really want to say it about him because I think he knows it as well, is TJ. TJ just has everything. And I suppose more than anything, hurling is a game of skill, and TJ has it in abundance. He has a hand to catch a ball like that. Like, that's, it's still, the game is changing all the time, but if you have someone who can win the ball, primary possession, it's, you can't beat that. And then the skill he has to go with it. Like, TJ can play for however long more he wants. Like, he was still, you could say, arguably Kilkenny's maybe second best forward after Mossy Keown last year. And he just has, he's just so skillful. And obviously his body allows him to do that. He looks after himself well. But every GA player looks after himself. It's just he has so much skill. And then you look at some of the other players, the likes of JJ Delaney there, just Tommy Welsh. You're marking these guys, and like, Tommy is much smaller than I am, but he'd be catching the ball over me as well. And it's just, that's just the art he has. He's perfected in that. So Tommy, JJ, TJ, obviously Henry then as well, was incredible. And just remember, to play with him was something really special.
Do you remember there was a time when it used to be said that the Kilkenny A versus B games would have been harder than anything you'd have faced at inter-county level with other teams? Was that true?
They were tough games, like, especially around that time when I came into the panel. They were fierce, because there wasn't that many games in the championship. Like, Kilkenny might only have won four championship games, and they were all Ireland champions. Now it's different in the round robin. You can't have that level of intensity in training matches, because you'll have a match the following week, and you know you want to keep lads free from injury as well, but you also want to keep lads sharp and fresh. So I think back then it was more applicable to have these tough games. And I would, there was no whistle either. Brian Cody was, I don't think he had a whistle, to be honest. And he was standing in the middle of the field just roaring at lads. And there was no sidelines either. There was the ball hits the signs in Nolan Park. It's just like, play on, like, and there'd be stones flying. And like that's just the way it was. And you wouldn't even dream about looking for a free, because you wouldn't get one, like, and you'd be looked down upon.
The free takers didn't get any practice in those games, did they?
No, Henry and TJ used to have to stay back after to get any practice if they wanted to improve their frees. But like, they were fierce. And I was just looking at the Cork panel this year as well, and I just thought that they had such a strong panel that their in-house games must have been seriously competitive, because like, when I look at their team, I see so many talented players, and even on the extended panel, that they must have had that. But then maybe there isn't time to have these really tough games, because you need a seriously strong panel to have that. And yeah, I enjoyed those games back with Kilkenny as well. But I don't think it's the way forward now, because you want to keep players fresh.
Do you miss it at all? Okay, given that you continue to play Gaelic football and that you continue to play a bit of rugby, do you miss being part of that Kilkenny senior hurling setup? Do you not think that maybe you could have got a year or two more out of it, even at your age?
Yeah, well, of course I miss it. It's an incredible honour to play hurling with Kilkenny, and something I really, really enjoyed. Had Kilkenny won the All-Ireland this year, I would have definitely missed it more, being honest. Not that I didn't want them to win or anything. That's not the case. I would have loved to have to win an All-Ireland before I finished. And yes, yeah, I miss the whole competitive nature of it, the training, the tough training, even the crack you have with the lads in the dressing room. I miss that aspect, but I have that with my club. The rugby thing, like, I don't see myself as someone who's going to go off and run 5Ks there every Sunday morning or a couple of times a week. And it's just, so I want to keep myself fit, because when you stop, that's when you don't play club for much longer either. And it's something I want to keep playing. I love sport. I always have. So it's just to kind of keep fit as well with rugby. But then the game has changed. I didn't play rugby in 15 years. And the game really changed. These pods set up everywhere. Like, I was like, it's like a different game for a while. You can't tackle, if you tackle anyway high now, it's a penalty. I couldn't. The first game I played, I'd say I give away 3 penalties for a high tackle, which when I played, it wasn't a high tackle. And so you'd be only at their chest, but you have to really be seen to lower yourself. But I'm quite tall. It's hard to lower myself down. And it took me a while to adjust to that. And I have the dressing room. I still have the dressing room to crack with the lads in the dressing room, be it a rugby dressing room, a Kilkenny football dressing room, or even with the club as well. And that's something that I would really miss, and I will whenever I finish playing.
You have an understanding wife, though, don't you, given that you've twins at home? What age are they, 1 yet?
They're going to be 1 the end of October now as well. So I was lucky enough that I got my first couple of trainings in before they arrived with the rugby, because if they arrived before I went back to rugby, I wouldn't have been playing it. I couldn't justify saying, oh, I'm going playing rugby now. So I got a couple of trainings in with the rugby as well. But yeah, look the twins, they're great. Yeah, Charlie and Kate, they're flying it. And I kind of wonder what I thought I was busy before, but since they came along, it's changed things. But no, they're great, they're healthy, and yeah, that's all you can ask.
Actually, just going back to the inter-county career as well, what was the case a few years ago? You managed to avoid having to make a best man speech, didn't you? Because you actually, there was, quite remarkably, a Kilkenny wedding scheduled for the day before the All-Ireland final. Tell us about that.
Yeah, no, I wasn't best man. Right. I don't know where that story came. I was groomsman, all right. And yeah, so that year, Killian Buckley got married to Niamh Dowling. And yeah, that year, it was all pushed back a week. So the All-Ireland was meant to be the week before his wedding, but the GA just pushed it back. And obviously, Killian had everything organised. Like, organising weddings, I know it's like it's between everyone. There's a lot to it. So we said, look, if they're in the All-Ireland final, he'll play the All-Ireland final the next day. And it transpired like that. Yes, I went to the church, and I dropped the lads to the reception, got a couple of photos, and I'd say I was home the Saturday before the All-Ireland. I'd say I was home at maybe 6:30.
Jeez, you must have felt really cheated, did you?
Yeah, it would have been a good wedding now. But it was actually, look, you were getting ready for an All-Ireland final, and I was starting that All-Ireland final, and I knew I was starting, even though I wasn't named to start on the programme. David Blanchfield was injured and they changed around the team, so I knew I was starting as well. And Killian was also a sub that day, and he was very conscious of me getting tired. He said, just get out of here, just go, like, you've more important things to do. And we played All-Ireland. Limerick beat us the next day, but I got married the following week then as well, the following Saturday. And it was like,
sorry, were the replays in those, had they gotten away with the replays, or might have you been actually caught up?
I could have been caught. The replay would have been 2 weeks, I was told, and that would have ruined 2 good weddings. But that was you lose an All-Ireland final, you don't want to see anyone, like, you just want to stay away from everyone, like, you're so down about it for the week. And literally anyone I've ever known is, I have to see him on the following Saturday after losing to All-Ireland. And I was like, what am I going to do here? This wedding. But you know, you come around then as well after a couple of days with the team, probably drowning your sorrows and whatever else you do. And that just makes it worse then. And I wouldn't be very anxious about things, but that wedding on the Saturday I was. And yeah, look, we even Colin Fenley was a groomsman for me, and he was back from Dubai as well, and he was asking, we'll go for a few drinks the night before, and I said, no, I just want to be left on my own, I just want to get a good night's sleep. And that's what I did. I got up fresh, and look, we had a great day then on the Saturday.
Just for the cameras that we have here, for those weird photos, show them your thumb, will you?
Oh, my thumb?
Yeah, because did you get that fused?
No, I have to get it fused.
You're going to get it fused?
Yeah. The rugby is probably slowing up this. I probably should get it fused now, but I want to go back and play a bit of rugby. But I can't hold a golf club now, so it's bad now. So there's no strength in it whatsoever.
Okay, how many times has it been broken, or what's the issue?
It's never been broken. It's just the whole joint is all over the place, really. The bones, the ligaments are completely ruptured between my thumb and my index finger. I've meant to get this operation with 5 years.
So how did that come around? Is that literally from just going up, catching the ball, and people swinging the hurley and taking your hand off?
A combination of that, and I fell on it a few times, and there was plenty of weight coming down on it when I fell on it, and a few belts on it. And I'm managing to play hurling, even though I wouldn't be able to open like a can of Coke or with this thumb, but I'm able to hurl with it as well. I think you just adjust to it. But I often wonder if I got it done, would I have been better for the last 5 years? But it's just, I think it's a 3 month kind of recovery. I was going to do it last year, but then the twins came along and like I have to be able to feed bottles to them. Like, you know, there's a few kind of...
Because when you get it fused, it'll be moved back into place, but you won't be able to move it then, will you?
Yeah, but at least I'll have something maybe to push back against. Like there's no strength in that whatsoever. So at least I'll have something to work with. I think I hope it'll make my golf swing a bit better, and the club won't be slipping my hands. And maybe I'll go back and play a bit of golf. So
yeah, because did you actually hold your hurley like a golf club?
Yes, I hold the hurley the wrong way. So yeah, left hand on top, and that's kind of the golf the way a right handed golf player would play.
Was that
so.
Not knocked out of you at any stage in Kilkenny of all places, yeah. Traditional home of hurling?
It my father used to always be on to me, but I was stubborn enough, and I kind of thought, look, sure, I'm one of the best players on our underage club team. And I hold it this way, so I'm going to keep doing it. And I was stubborn enough. And then Aidan Fogarty, who hurls with Kilkenny, he's a good few years older than me. He'll be 10 years older than me. And
he contributes to the last word. He's a great pundit as well.
Yeah, he is. So Taggy did it. So that was, he can do it. And he plays with Kilkenny. But Taggy was, obviously, he was incredible. So there's not many players that hold it the way, I would say, Taggy and I hold it. So if I was back again, I would 100% hold the hurl the right way, because I think it does restrict you a bit. But look, I had a decent enough career in the finish. But I definitely, any young people listening to your podcast here, Matt, I would encourage them to hold the hurl the right way, not be stubborn like me.
Okay, just to finish up, back to the business. What are your ambitions? I mean, do you see yourself as a tech businessman for the future?
Well, definitely with this, yeah. I've put a lot of work into it. I've only started since June, and it's been going really well. Like we're generating a lot of revenue for Kilkenny, and obviously, if we scale up, then the business is going to be really successful. So, yes, my plans are very much to continue with the business, and I'd be very, very optimistic with the future of the business, and I suppose. Going to another organisation like another county board, like they're already creating all the content that Kilkenny are. It's just what we're doing with Kilkenny is we're
aggregating it,
like pulling it into a newsfeed, and then we're monetizing that, their engagements. So if you think about, like, just I go to Dublin GA, they're already creating Instagram, X, they have Facebook. They're already creating all their own content. They have live streaming. They have podcasts. They have everything in, like, they're already creating. But if you funnel it and put it into social ties, you're then monetizing that engagement, and you know it just makes more sense, because if not, the money, I suppose, is going to Silicon Valley. It's going to the Instagram. It's going to Meta, like. I suppose that's our selling point, I suppose, in that sense. And it's free. It's free as well.
I'm going to leave it there. Walter, it's been great having you with us. Thank you very much for taking the time, and best wishes for the ventures for the future.
Thanks very much, Matt. Thanks for having me.
Magnified with Matt Cooper. Sponsored by Intact Insurance, the new name for RSA Insurance. Offering personal and commercial cover with ease.
Go Loud. Sounds better with us.
Do you know your net worth? Or can you even list all your financial accounts? Believe it or not, most people can't. The problem is simple. When you don't track your finances, you leave hard-earned money on the table by overspending and undersaving. Monarch is the solution. An all-in-one personal finance tool that brings your entire financial life together in one clean interface on your laptop or phone. In just minutes, you can link all your accounts to see a clear, complete picture of your financial health. With data visualizations and AI-driven insights, Monarch helps you spot patterns, cut wasteful spending, and make better financial decisions without ever touching a spreadsheet. Monarch more than pays for itself. In fact, users save over $200 a month on average. That's why the Wall Street Journal named Monarch the best budgeting app of 2025. Get 50% off your first year when you use code GOALS at monarch.com. That's monarch.com, promo code GOALS. Monarch. The modern way to manage money.